You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Nordheim fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 454, and today is Monday, March 12th, 2018. Randall's here as well. Randall, how's it going?
It's going. It's another day in Indiana. I will say, despite all the ups and downs of the Notre Dame basketball team this week, the league I played in actually helped our team win the championship. So in the midst of all Notre Dame struggles, I had a basketball high this week. So,
well, good for you. Happy for you. There's not a ton to discuss. We got the first week of Notre Dame spring practice over with. This week is spring break. But there is some news as far as some commitments or recruits. I mean, Randall mentioned narrowing down lists, some visits coming up. A little bit of movement in the NFL. And we'll, of course, touch on where Notre Dame is as far as football so far in spring, what we've been hearing so far coming out of spring camp. But maybe let's knock out some of the small stories first. Notre Dame basketball team, are you surprised they didn't make the tournament? I'm not. I don't think they deserved it.
Well, I am. Seeing some of the teams that are on there, it's just, I know some of those teams won their league or whatever, but you know Notre Dame could beat them. And then one of the teams that got in was Syracuse. They beat them head-to-head, and that was without Bonzi Colson. And so it's just, I thought they could possibly squeeze, that they should have had a chance to get in, but I'm not sure the committee, I don't know how detailed the committee got. There's a lot of teams to look at, and maybe if this was the playoff, the football playoffs, it would have been easier for them to dig in, you know, and see what Notre Dame's problem was, you know, that they were missing all of it, but whatever. They didn't make it. Now they can go win the NIT.
Do you think they will? I did see they're a one seed in the NIT.
I'm going to say yes, they will.
I don't think they will. I still think that they're just not back to who they were before Colson and Farrell went through.
Well, they've played some games now.
I know, but they haven't been great since. I mean, and I know it's, you can't just come back, I guess, and not miss a beat. But I just don't think they're going to be able to win it.
Well, yeah, they had the largest comeback for Notre Dame team.
I actually watched that game.
21 points down. They were down 21 in the second half, and they came back and won that game. And then, obviously, it didn't go well against Duke. So, if they would have beat Duke, they would have been in. I think that was the deciding thing. But then with, what was it, like an 18-point loss, that just didn't look good.
But,
so, and from what I hear, the NIT, they're actually trying some new thing. I'd seen it a while ago, so I actually have to go see if they're actually doing it now.
You mentioned it last week, maybe moving back to the three-point line.
Yeah, and I'm not sure there's a couple other things. So
it sounds ridiculous to me.
I don't know if that'll mess with them or not.
It disinterests me as a fan. It makes it feel like a pickup basketball game.
Yeah.
But talking about the college NCAA tournament, however, we do have our own little game going on, the Tournament Challenge. Irish Sports Talk is the name of the group, and if you win, you'll win the shirt, the Notre Dame shirt. So be sure to join. If you joined last year or previous years, it should automatically be there, but you do need to join. And if you weren't part of it last year, just search for Irish Sports Talk with spaces in between the words.
Yeah, definitely join. Get all your friends to join. The more the merrier.
And then Deshaun Kizer, former Notre Dame quarterback, former Cleveland Browns quarterback, is now part of the Green Bay Packers, backing up Aaron Rodgers. Do you think he's going to be starting over Aaron Rodgers?
I was surprised how much I've heard. Like, I didn't watch Browns games this last year, but obviously Kizer started most of them. He was benched at one point, but still started and put up numbers. But there was talk of them, you know, drafting a quarterback as a number one pick, and I'm just like, why? This isn't the team's problem.
I think he had one of the worst quarterback ratings as well.
Well, it's the Browns. It basically anything to do with the Browns, stats, everything, just throw it out the window. It's the Browns. I feel bad for Tyrod Taylor having to go there. And yeah, I thought maybe they'd try to get Kirk Cousins. But anyways, he got traded to the Packers, which I feel is a good situation for him. Maybe a Notre Dame quarterback finally has a chance to succeed somewhere.
Well, he's going to...
Or did the Browns mess
probably,
him up?
He's probably not going to succeed as a starter. His role is probably going to be a backup quarterback.
Well, he gets a chance to back up Aaron Rodgers and very likely start a few games during the year when Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. And then he can learn, he can sit there and learn from Aaron Rodgers for a couple years and then compete for that job. So I think it's a better situation than being in Cleveland.
Well, any situation anything is better than being in Cleveland.
True. Which, speaking of, we were talking about it on the forums. We have to go back and check to see what the bet was that we made about Gunnar Kiel going to the NFL.
We'll never find it. We are going to have a...
We have been writing things down recently. But
a prediction board where basically if one of us makes a prediction or a wager, I'm not sure what we'll call it. But anyway, I think the bet... it was clear. I did believe that Gunnar would go to the NFL, and Randall didn't. And I think we had a steak dinner on the line.
Well, somebody thought it kind of remembered $1,000, but
that I know.
I guess we'll have
to
go back and check.
If you go back and check.
Anyways, so yeah, I think it's good news for Kaiser.
And then recruiting. Does Notre Dame have any visits coming up over the next few weeks?
Yeah, they have guys visiting. It seems like they're kind of popping in and out. Some are in the middle of the week, some are on weekends. And they have a lot of guys trying to schedule visits for this summer. And, you know, so guys are setting dates and when they'll visit Notre Dame. And then you also have guys actually trimming their lists, you know, their top five, some of the top seven, whatever. Different guys trimming their lists down. And Notre Dame, you know, is included in a lot of those, but seven schools or five schools, whatever, there's still competition there. But that's kind of what the recruits are doing at this point, narrowing it down to the schools that they want to visit so that they can make a commitment this fall. So, yeah, that's kind of what's happening in the recruiting world right now. It is spring break at Notre Dame. I don't know how much spring break the coaches actually get. But, yeah, so it's kind of a slow week as far as news at Notre Dame.
So since last time we talked that there'd be three captains announced. We found out who those were. I think everyone was certain that you'd have Mustafa and Drew Tranquil.
Yeah.
And then I was pretty sure it would be Jerry Tillery. You were too, partly because of Brian Kelly's slip up in the preview.
I thought it was a slip up, but... Obviously not.
But it's Tyler Newsom. So that I was surprised. Not expecting Notre Dame's punter to be named a captain. But from everything that I've been hearing, I mean, he's a kind of a leader, and guys look up to him, and guys like him.
Yeah. It's funny when you hear the other guys kind of asked about Tyler Newsom. Even Brian Kelly says, you know, Newsom... They just have different terms for it. Basically, he walks a different drum, the beat of a different drum than what the other guys. It's just he's got his own way of doing things. And but all the guys, obviously, a lot of the team wanted him as a captain. I believe he got over 50% of the votes. And so, yeah, there was some – I got a little flack on the forum about not saying more about Tyler Newsom getting it after. I didn't like the fact that Matthias Farley got it. And was not a starter, and I will say Newsom is a starter, so that's one step, that's one thing better. But yeah, I'm kind of trying to decide how I feel about a punter. I mean, yeah, he's a leader, but at the same time, I guess game time, he's not with the team, like just like you hear the song about the lonesome kicker.
They're kind of in a different. Listen, I do agree with you. I'm just going to give you a different point of view.
Okay.
Even guy, you want someone who inspires the team, right?
Yeah.
Even guys that are injured and aren't going to be contributing in any sort of like actual physical way, they can still inspire and motivate their teammates. And Newsom is definitely he's going to be playing. And if guys look up to him, and if he's a guy that can get special teams fired up, punt coverage unit fired up, hopefully we can, you know, land some hard hits and force some fumbles this year on the punting team. So I'm just giving. Well, I do generally agree with you. I still think he can be valuable to this team as a captain.
Yeah, and with his interview, I mean, he is one of the SWAT team captains. And last year, he was involved with that as well, and he was actually given kind of the extras or the guys that were hard to deal with. And I guess, you know, Brian Kelly obviously trusted him with doing that, and they ended up doing very well. They had to, I guess Newsom kind of had to whip them into shape, and, you know, this includes their academics and everything, and they performed very well. They graded out very well, and so he did a good job of that. So he is obviously, you know, a leader. There's a lot more than just being out in the football field on Saturdays. But as far as, you know, like SWAT team activities, things like that, he's part of the team. He's a football player.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it is a little bit different having a punter because on game day, he's not really with the guys in the locker room. I mean, he's out there practicing and just doing something different. And it is unusual for a punter to be named a captain, so it doesn't happen that often. In his interview, he was asked about all his different tats he has, and he kind of explained a couple of them. He's got on his arm, let's see, beyond his left arm, it says family, and then it has a saying underneath. That saying about we may not have it all together, but together we have it all, or something like that. And on his chest, he's got Hebrews 11:1, and he's got some others, and he actually mentioned that he wants to get a leprechaun on his foot after he graduates, on his punting foot. So he's going to wait, make sure he graduates before he does it. They were like, are you still thinking about doing it? It's like, no, he's going to do it, but he's waiting until he graduates. So, and he already has, on his one calf, he has that, is it like an eye? I've always wanted, he didn't mention the, what that was supposed to be. But he does that on the back of his leg. He has that eye on it. It's kind of
like an Illuminati eye?
No, it's just, I'm not sure. Anyways, he also talked about being a car accident when he was 16. He was actually life flighted to Atlanta Hospital, which he's from Georgia. And he spent 17 days in the hospital, and he had his, basically like his midsection, his hip and his back and everything just kind of crushed. His spleen was lacerated, and, you know, they thought he wouldn't be, he said he wasn't sure, they wouldn't be the normal that he knew before. And so as he talked about that, and now he, that's part of the reason he's so involved in all the volunteer things and community service. I mean, if there's anything that the team is doing, he's one of them. And he talks about how he loves South Bend. It's a great place and great people, which is kind of, I don't know, he actually likes it. Like, if you live in South Bend and see the area around, Notre Dame itself is an awesome place, but the area out around, you don't have to go too far before it doesn't look so awesome. But he loves it in South Bend.
But it's like that pretty much everywhere.
Oh, I know. I've visited a lot of different campuses. I always try to drive through a campus when I'm close to one of the big college schools. And anyway, but before he walked out then, he's like, oh, by the way, I'm excited to be back for fifth year. And he said they can't get rid of me yet. So anyway, I think.
So he still hasn't graduated?
Well, he will this spring. But then he's coming back. He'll be a fifth year. I mean, he's still. I don't know if he's. I mean, he's still.
Usually they graduate in 3.5 years.
Well, he's just waiting until, I'm guessing he's just waiting until the ceremony or whatever, until he's officially graduated. I'm not sure where. But yeah. Then the other guys, their press conferences, Mustafer, he came in, you know, he was asked about playing with McClinchy and Nelson. and you know, basically said they trusted him. Like, it wasn't like he had to look at them making calls. You know, he'd look over at them and they'd be like, hey, what's the call? You make the call. And so it wasn't like this is something new this year where he all of a sudden has to step up and, you know, make calls, do things. These guys, those guys trusted him. He said they knew they were first round talent. They still trusted him to do what he was supposed to do, and loved playing with them. They were back on campus. Mustafa and Nelson were both, or not Mustafa, Nelson and McClinchy were both back for that first practice the other day. And then he said he's graduating in May as well, and then he's going to be a part-time student next year, so that helps out with some of the, he has a little more time to help out with his duty. And he also mentioned that when he's asked about Newsom, he said he voted for Newsom as one of the captains, so there's one guy. And then Tranquil, everybody knew he was going to be a captain, and he got 85% of the votes. I'm not sure who the 15% were that didn't vote for him. But from what it sounds like, they basically voted for three guys, I think.
Okay.
So they had multiple. But then he is now the 23rd two-time captain, which matches his jersey number. And he talked about coming back for his fifth year, and we've kind of had discussion about this, about him playing the buck position. And he said that actually factored into it. That's the feedback, you know, the coach has gotten. That's how, what they threw at him as a recruiting pitch, was for him to come back and learn to play that position, because that's what he would be playing in the NFL. And then he also mentioned part of the reason was coming back and playing for Clark Lee. So he obviously trusts Clark Lee a lot, mentioned him as a father figure. And, you know, they asked a little bit about Clark Lee, and he said Lee, you know, kind of comes across as a mentor. And he said he always has time for the guys. And he says, you know, you can increase his workload, and you couldn't tell because he still has time to stop and talk to you for a couple minutes and see how your day's going. So the guys love that. But then, yeah, basically the buck position, coming back to play that. And that's obviously what he's playing. In the first practice, he was lined up there. And he mentioned it's different, that he's a lot closer to the action. And so he's closer to the line and closer to the action, so he's got to read everything and adjust on the fly. And he's coming in playing a different position in spring practice again. So he's done this. This would be the third position that he's starting out at. So even though he's experienced, he's learning at a new position. So I guess there you have it. He's going to stay at buck unless something major happens.
Well, I think the only way he would move back is if they find someone that can play buck, or if there's absolutely no one, or if they're at a worse situation at the Rover.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's about everything I've got. Did you have
just a couple quick notes from that first practice, which was on Tuesday. Then they had another practice on Thursday. And so now the guys are on spring break, and they're scheduled to have their next practice on March 20th, which is on a Tuesday. And Brian Kelly mentioned that what stood out to him in the first practice was he said the first thing was the intensity of the defense. You know, just, he mentioned the run support drill, especially, like, the guys are way ahead of where they were last year. And, you know, some of these drills, they've been doing it over and over and over, but there's still a lot of intensity. It's not like they're just, oh, here we go again, another, we're trying this another time. There's, the intensity is much better than it has been last year. And then he said, offensively, he talked about Brandon Wimbush, his footwork looked better, and he's more assertive as a thrower. So he's probably expected to say that.
Well, I don't know if Brian Kelly could say anything that would really give me a confidence that Brandon Wimbush is going to be able to throw completions.
Yeah. Well, nobody will know until Michigan.
I mean, I'm rooting for Brandon. I do hope that he gets it figured out, gets his head straight, and hope that he has a really great year as a starting quarterback.
Yeah. He also mentioned that the first practice, it was not sloppy like it had been last year. I mean, it seemed everything was improved. And then as far as the quarterbacks getting hit, Brian Wimbush and Ian Book are not getting hit, but then Avery Davis will have contact. And then he's also probably partially because he's also playing other positions. And he did take reps at wide receiver, and he looked very good doing it. So there's a good chance we see Avery Davis as, you know, out wide, or could see him on trick plays. Who knows yet, but he will be playing more than just quarterback.
Well, he's your guy if you want to throw the football off of a little jet action.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of people were surprised by how good he looked as a receiver, and he's an athlete. And another thing Brian Kelly mentioned was the special teams. You know, he was asked about how, you know, involved he is. And he said he's spending quite a bit of time. He's moving around a lot, and he's spending quite a bit of time with the special teams because they're changing some things scheme-wise, which is good to hear.
That sounded, yes, that was good news.
So do you think they're actually doing that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think they will. I mean,
and I think
they need to.
They do need to because they haven't had enough explosive plays.
Yeah. And back to Avery Davis, he was mentioned as being used on special teams. But the only thing I can think of is like as a kick returner, punt returner, something like that. I mean, I don't think you're going to have Avery Davis out there blocking or tackling.
No, I mean, you have him on the hands.
So
team,
we haven't,
but
yeah, we haven't heard much about the return game yet, which isn't that important. But obviously, you do have to replace C.J. Sanders. You still have Chris Fink there, but I still think somebody needs to give Fink some competition besides just fair catching it. So, then just as far as some of the guys looked, Jordan Genmark Heath slimmed down a little bit and looks more like a safety now than he did last year, and he's obviously going to stay there at safety. And then the one question, you look at the weight differences, Julian Okorah is actually slimmed down, looks like he lost some weight, and is at 230, he's listed at 230. And then you have Dalen Hayes playing the same position, who gained weight at 262. So there you got a 30-pound difference between those two guys, and they don't look like they play the same position. And Okorah didn't look big last year, so I don't know what the deal is that he's slimmed down. I don't know what the plan is there. I mean,
did he actually slim down?
Yeah, from what it looks like, yes, he doesn't look quite as big as he did last year.
Okay.
And my only guess is that, you know, they have something in mind. You know, obviously, Okorah was out in the field on third down. I mean, often on third down, Okorah was out there, that pass rusher. But that almost just makes it more obvious on what you're going to do. Kind of, I'm not sure what the situation is there.
Yeah, but he pretty much, I mean, that's pretty much where he came in, though, was for obvious passing downs.
Yeah, but it's just kind of interesting to see that. Then Jonathan Bonner.
I think it's just spring.
It's, yeah, just,
and I think it looked like a bigger difference than it actually, than weight-wise, that it is.
Could be. Some guys thought he might have been sick, but who knows. Then you also had Jonathan Bonner, you know, was going to switch position with Jerry Tillery, but then Brian Kelly also mentioned having him on the outside on, like, third down. So they're obviously going to be moving guys around on the defensive line. As far as Rover goes, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, everyone was raving about him. They said he's the most athletic guy out there on the field. I mean, he's the speed and how he can change, right, just everything. He is one of the most athletic guys there, and it's obvious. So that's good to see, you know, get more guys like that, and I guess we'll see how much he can push for playing time. It sounds like Notre Dame actually wanted to put him on the field last year, but since he was a little bit younger, they didn't want to get into that fifth-year situation where they have a guy that's just starting to be a playmaker and develop, but they've used up all his eligibility, and so that's why he didn't play last year. So there, that's a guy to watch this year. And then Studs still was on the third team, which, looking at that, and Jalen Elliott wasn't listed with the safety either, but Jalen Elliott and five of the true freshmen were not at practice because of academic. They were, had classes or something
just,
else going
on. Just
that
first day.
Just first day. And so that's why Elliott wasn't with the safeties. And then Studstill was third team, which you wonder if he dropped that far. But then if you also remember when Max Redfield was still on the team and Studstill was a freshman, Studstill was listed ahead of Max Redfield to kind of motivate Redfield, or that's what we thought. That's what we thought, anyways. So maybe this is kind of the same situation where you have, you know, they're trying to motivate Studstill to step up his game, because I can't really see him going from starting how many games to dropping to third team behind these inexperienced young guys. But it's just the first practice. Maybe they wanted to see what the other guys could do, you know. And I'm sure he'll get a chance to compete if he really wants to. And then on offense, Connor Grunlund is actually the walk-on backup center. And so he is playing as a backup center to give Trevor Rulin a chance to compete at guard or one of the other spots. Obviously, at the game during a game, if Sam Mustafer would go down or need a break, Trevor Rulin would moved to the center position, but they have a walk-on taking his spot as the backup during practice. So one of the big things was that the third team players actually looked like they could compete. I mean, it's Brian Kelly mentioned, you know, back at the recruiting press conference that they're trying to improve, you know, those last 20 to 30 guys. What was it, 50 to 80?
Yeah.
The scholarship number from like 50 to 80, something like that. Try to improve those numbers so that you have more competition, and it's starting to show. So even the third string guys look good and look like they could, you know, potentially compete for playing time. So Notre Dame's definitely moving in the right direction with the backups.
Having solid third string guys, I think, is what's going to help this team. It would have helped them last year, late in the season.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So, anyways, you do have the one freshman that was out there was Houston Griffin. And I think, like, looking at pictures of him, he's obviously big enough, strong enough to be out there, but he's not as toned and obviously hasn't been in the strength and conditioning program as long as the other guys, but he is still a guy that can be out there competing. I mean, he's not scared to go out and compete with these guys. So, and coming from IMG, you know, he's obviously got some good conditioning down there. So, but it was just the first practice. They had two last week, and like I said, they'll be back March 20th. And from there, it's basically couple times a week, every 2 or 3 days, they're having practice until the spring games. So we'll see what happens. I'm guessing the coaches right now are sitting there trying to decide who goes where, positions, and I'm guessing there'll be some changes in the next practice.
All right, that's all we've got. Thank you guys for listening. Check out the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net, or on Twitter @irishsportstalk. Reminder again, be sure to join the March Madness Tournament Challenge. Irish Sports Talk, spaces between the words, winner will get the shirt. So head on over there, compete against us, see how you stack up when this is all said and done. And I think that's it. Thank you guys for listening. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.